Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sister Wives with Mary Jane Kay. Before I get into the commentary for today's episode, I would like to discuss the news I heard today. I am completely shocked and saddened by the news I just saw. I feel so sad for the Brown family. Garrison, Janelle's son, chose to end his life, and apparently Gabe is the one who found him. There are no words. My heart feels heavy. Please pray for this family or meditate or send good energy their way in whatever your way is, because this is something that takes more strength to walk through than you think you will ever have inside of yourself, especially for all of the people who knew and loved Garrison. When you lose people unexpectedly and they choose to end it all, it is so much suffering and so much grief and so many layers of emotions to go through. This is one of the most difficult things a person can walk through in life. Life is hard. Life is unfair. Life is short. Love yourself. Love the people who love you. Find the things that bring you joy in life and hold the people you love close to your heart. I know depression is a hard thing to experience. And if you feel at the end of your rope, just take it day by day, focus on the small moments, on the things that take your mind to a good place. It can feel like an uphill battle. But if anyone feels down, if anyone feels hopeless, please don't give up on yourself. Today, I'll be giving my commentary on Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 1, Seeking Can Be a Shock. The episode opens with the Davis family from last season, Nick the husband and his wives, April, Danielle, and Jennifer. April, of course, is Nick's first wife, Jennifer is his second wife, and Danielle is Nick's third wife. Nick explains that he is sure there are many things that have played into his affinity for a plural lifestyle. He says he grew up watching Three's Company, and it never occurred to him that the women Jack lived with weren't his wives. He just thought he lived with all those women who cared about him, and he wanted all those women to care about him too. It seemed like a great way for him to live his life. Listen, I watched Three's Company reruns too as a little kid in the 80s when my mom had the reruns on, and I remember it all. Mr. and Mrs. Roper, when Don Knotts was on, Larry, the creepy friend, and never did I ever think those were Jack's wives, ever. Mr. Roper thought Jack was into guys. It was a joke on the show. I myself had several male roommates. It was never a romantic vibe. So it's weird that Three's Company and Jack having female roommates planted the polygamous seed for this guy. Way to ruin a good show. I'm not a Nick fan. He seems like a narcissist who tells women what they want to hear as he stays at home and the women support him. He thinks he's smarter than he is and he has a huge ego. And to me, polygamy for him seems like an extension of that. Danielle, Nick's third wife, feels the benefit of having a sister wife is having a best friend. And she says, as much as she loves Nick, there are some things her sister wives understand better than he does, since they're all women. There's a baby Vera added to the family now. Baby Vera is adorable. And the wives and Nick take her to the toy store for her birthday. Jennifer had Vera with Nick. She's almost one now. It's going to be her first birthday. Jennifer feels the fact that all of the wives can raise Vera together is important. Vera will call all the women mom, and Jennifer really loves seeing her sister wives be a mother to Vera. She can fully rely on these women to parent her daughter, and she can fully rely on having another fully loving parent to take care of Vera. Nick explains how his wives work, and he is a stay-at-home dad, and he wants to get a toy for Vera that stimulates her intellect. Nick says, as far as him being jobless, the women seem to prefer his time to be spent in the activities he finds most enriching for himself. That's code for he likes to be lazy and live off his wife's incomes as he fucks about all day and plays Mr. Mom. Nick says he feels they have enough people dedicated towards earning wages, and they need more people here thinking and feeling, really trying to understand what this life experience is about. Be wary of people, by the way, who tried way too hard to seem intelligent or deep or profound or philosophical. This Nick guy fancies himself to be a modern day Aristotle. All he does is read stuff and he thinks he's super smart just because he can regurgitate it. Nick dated Danielle for 8 months and they made it official, and the four of them married. Jennifer explains that when they're out in public together, people will look at them strangely. They'll try to figure out how all of these people are all associated together. And they let them know very openly that they are all together. Nick wants to add more wives as part of their family vision. And April wants at least 4, maybe 5 sister wives. And Jennifer's on board with that too. But Danielle, the third wife, feels potentially bringing somebody into the household will be daunting. She already finds it hard to even just picture someone who will be compatible the way they all already are with each other. And she points out that she is so used to monogamous dating, so this is all a big adjustment, this polygamy thing. And she doesn't really feel ready for more sister wives, but she's working on it. She's working on being ready. Next, we meet the Sherwoods, Ashley and Shane. They have an adorable baby as well. And they have been together for 3 years and they've been married for 2 years. And they want to add another partner into their family. They have discussed this for 2.5 years. And Shane thinks they both feel that they aren't monogamous people. Ashley feels very strongly that it's unfair to expect any one person to fulfill 100% of all of your needs. She's fine with people who are monogamous, but she says for some people, that's just not the right fit. Ashley and Shane Sherwood met through competitive axe throwing, and they got to know each other through social media, and they met each other for the first time at an axe throwing tournament. Shane told Ashley she was so much hotter in real life than on her social media account. Those were his first words to her. And he says she was this angel. Their relationship progressed quickly. They moved very fast. Now they have a son and one on the way because Ashley is 6 months pregnant and she's dating. And she says a lot of people think it's taboo that she's dating because she's pregnant. Ashley really wants another mom for the boys and another confidant. She wants someone to grow their love that they have for their family and for each other. Shane wants the sister wife to be somebody who's driven, not necessarily with a career, but he feels the potential sister wife should have goals. And Ashley just wants the person to accept her babies. She has to be open to having Shane's bio child as well. It's very important to them. And that child that Shane has with the sister wife would be a piece of all of them. The way the Sherwoods usually handle dating is Ashley will usually meet the prospective sister wives. She'll meet them, she'll date them before she introduces the women to Shane. Ashley really doesn't prioritize her relationship with the prospective sister wife over Shane's, but she doesn't want to waste Shane's time, so she meets with them first. Ashley has been seeing Grace now for about a month, and she is getting ready to see her now. She's going to go on a date with her, and Shane helps advise Ashley on what top to wear. Now, maybe Ashley just wants his input and she doesn't like picking her own clothes, or maybe this is a little red flag that Shane likes control. I guess we'll see. It's way too early to tell. We learned that Grace was the hair and makeup artist that Shane and Ashley used for their wedding. They never spoke to her after the wedding until they matched on a dating app a month or two ago. Shane can see that Ashley and Grace have deep intellectual conversations. They discuss the future. They discuss how this will work. They discuss kids. So Shane is stoked to meet her one day, hopefully sooner than later. And Ashley is open to bringing in another partner. She says it'll make Shane happy, and she really hopes Grace is the right person. Grace feels the friendship she and Ashley shares is wonderful. She doesn't know what interests her specifically about polygamy, but she says she's open to connections no matter where they come from. Ashley says she really likes the connection with Grace. She says they have good communication, they have emotional intimacy, they have mental intimacy, they're on the same page, they have very deep conversations. So Ashley is all about Grace. Grace isn't weirded out by Ashley being pregnant. She says it doesn't feel any different dating a pregnant person. Ashley would really like Shane to meet Grace soon. She feels like he's a really good judge of character, and she really hopes that Shane will see what she sees in Grace.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And we learn Ashley is bisexual, so the partner, the sister wife they bring on, will be for both herself and for Shane. If the new wife is in a romantic sexual relationship with both Shane and Ashley, and two of the three end up being really into it, I think it could get messy fast. Next, back to the Merrifields, they're back again. Garrick and Danielle, minus Roberta, of course. They've been practicing polygamy for 5 years now. Danielle thinks polygamy is something different to everybody when you ask them. Danielle feels God has plans for them, and this is part of the plan. And Garrick says they search the scriptures, and polygamy is a reflection of Jesus and his church. PSA, trigger warning, the next stuff Garrick says might be upsetting or offensive to some people. Garrick's perspective is that in the scriptures, it says he fills you with the Holy Ghost, and according to Garrick, that's a sexual term. Danielle has a look on her face like, how stupid is my husband, as he's explaining this. She cringes as Garrick explains it. Garrick's interpretation is that it means sperm going into intimacy that way. And he says scientifically they found when a man and a woman become one and his sperm goes in a woman, that is his DNA that becomes a part of her. And that's according to Garrick. He says the sperm actually goes into her brain. And then she becomes one with him. The sperm goes into her brain and it's a holy thing? This is fucking blasphemous. And I'm not even religious. I'm not even really a believer. This has the same vibes as Cody's hormones in the mouth talk with kissing. Did maybe Garrick and Kotex take the same science class? None of this has any basis in facts or science or theology at all. WTF. Garrick goes on to explain that a woman can't transfer her DNA back to a man, so it shows the proof of how Christ is with his church. He transfers to us, but we don't transfer to him. Danielle looks absolutely horrified as Garrick explains this. He says a woman can't transfer her DNA back to the man, so it shows the proof of how Christ is with his church. Again, he transfers to us, we don't transfer to him. I want to know what kind of drugs this man is on, because obviously he's either on something or he's got a million screws loose in his brain. Garrick says it's a whole new meaning when it's done right. Obviously, Garrick is ridiculous. He really sounds like he's nuts. I wonder if in his mind, the DNA still transfers to the female brain with the protein shakes too. I don't know. I'm not religious, so I'm not offended, because obviously this is all bullshit that makes zero sense. Just blah, blah, blah. But if I believed, this kind of talk would probably offend me in a big way. Equating Jesus with sex and twisting things from the Bible, like I fill you with the Holy Ghost to be a sexual term. All of this is disgusting. It also infers that since men only transfer the DNA, that men are superior. You know, what does this guy think an egg consists of when the egg and the sperm meet? He does realize that it doesn't just take sperm to make a baby, right? I think Jesus would be offended by Garrick's bullshit. But I also think this man really needs to take a biology class, a sex ed class, and maybe, just maybe, he needs to read the Bible again too. This man only wants another woman to hook up, and they want someone to do household chores, and all Danielle wants is love and attention from her man. She has new hair, she has a Botox face to hell and back, and it looks like she got new boobs. It could just be a good push-up bra. If that doesn't scream, I need attention, I need attention, I want attention from my husband, I don't know what does. I don't know. I don't know that I've ever heard anything crazier on reality TV than what Garrick just said. What Garrick said was crazy. And, you know, he said this to justify polygamy, twisting Jesus, twisting the Bible, twisting God, involving sex. It made no sense. It was gross as fuck. I wonder, really, seriously, what drugs is this man on? How many screws does he have loose to even say shit like that on TV? Seriously. I wonder if he even believes his bullshit and all of it twisted to justify his fuckery. Danielle mentions how they met Roberta in 2018 and she divorced Garrick so that Garrick could bring Roberta to the United States with a fiance visa. It was really hard for Danielle because they struggled a lot and she considered truly divorcing Garrick a few times. She should have. She really should divorce this man. Now, Garrick realizes that there were red flags with Roberta. And Danielle says Roberta didn't want any more sister wives. She just wanted it to be she and Danielle and Garrick. And she couldn't accept anyone else in the family. And she was pissed that Garrick and Danielle started dating another woman as well while she was about to come to the U.S. Now, Danielle says her family was very skeptical of Roberta, but they prayed about it. And Garrick really wanted Roberta to come, but she avoided coming and she broke their hearts. So Roberta didn't come to the U.S. Garrick feels she had no intention of coming ever and they haven't spoken to Roberta since. Garrick thinks Roberta is gone forever. Garrick was heartbroken. Garrick was distraught. Garrick was depressed over Roberta, but his pastor encouraged him to move on. You know, I wonder, are these two part of a cult church? Their pastor is encouraging polygamy and Garrick moving on and Garrick moving forward. So I want to know, what kind of wacko church do these two attend? Would the pastor approve about what Garrick just said about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and sex and using that to twist this polygamy perversion? Garrick isn't doing this for theology. Garrick is doing this for a midlife crisis and because he wants to get it in. Garrick didn't give a fuck about Danielle's feelings. Garrick was ready to dive right back into dating, and Danielle wanted to wait. But of course, they met a girl named Natalia. She's 26. Garrick describes Natalia as pretty, sweet, and intelligent, and they've now been dating for 4.5 months, and now it's getting serious. Danielle still hasn't told her brother Sam and her sister-in-law Samantha about Natalia. Not yet, because they know how skeptical they're going to be considering what happened with Roberta. Garrick is concerned about Sam and Samantha's reaction to this. And he knows Samantha's going to be feisty about it, but he's concerned about how Sam will take it. Danielle jokes that her brother Sam is like Garrick's girlfriend. They work together. Sam is really feisty. He'll be very open about what he thinks about the things Garrick does. And so it's a little joke that Sam is like Garrick's girlfriend and Garrick will worry about how Sam is going to react to things. I thought it was a weird joke to make from Danielle. Garrick is her husband. She's his wife. And Sam is her brother. And I thought that was a very weird way to put it. Oh, he's like your little girlfriend. That was weird, in my opinion. I don't know. Danielle feels that she and Garrick are mostly on the same page. She has fears and worries that they're rushing into it, and she has lots of questions, but she doesn't want her fears and worries to hinder her. But Garrick wants to move forward quickly. He's digmatized by Natalia. He's digmatized by the pictures the new chick is sending him, and he wants to rush. He doesn't care who they marry as long as he gets another woman to stick it in. And the vibe I get is Danielle doesn't really want to do this. She's tried her best glow up. She looks great, and Garrick still won't pay her any attention. And she knows Garrick is moving forward with or without her, so she has to be on board in order to keep him. She should leave his ass and find someone better. The thing is, I recall last season when Garrick was willing to have one family in Brazil with Roberta, separately if she didn't want to come to the US, and then to have his family in the States and split his time if ultimately Roberta wasn't going to come. He was willing to start a second family with Roberta in a foreign country and abandon Danielle to be with Roberta part-time. If I were Danielle with two sons and a legal divorce already formalized, I would start thinking back then about what I want in a husband, about what I deserve in a husband, about what this midlife crisis, selfish behavior from Garrick will teach his sons, and I'd formally divorce the guy. It's already done anyway, and I'd move on. Danielle takes good care of herself. She seems much smarter than Garrick, at least smarter than him, and she has family support, and I believe she deserves better. The only reason she is pursuing polygamy really and truly, in my opinion, isn't God, it's not what she wants, but this is what Garrick wants, and she wants Garrick, and she probably also wants to keep her family intact for her son's sake. But in my opinion, Danielle deserves better than Garrick, and she obviously isn't going into this wholeheartedly really wanting this herself. This woman should talk to her family, she should talk to her brother, she should talk to her sister-in-law, and she should leave Garrick's ass. He seems to be thinking with his dick more than with his brain or with his heart. And I'm sure it hurts his wife, and the sickest part is he's using God to justify why he needs another wife. He's doing this for sex, for his ego. He just wants some strange and to use God to justify it, and it's gross. Danielle may not say she's hurting, but look at the woman's face. Even through the Botox, you can see how sad she is, how hurt she is. She isn't fully on board with this, but she wants to keep this low IQ, no personality vampire. Next, we meet Nyla and Naeem Salahuddin. They've been married for 15 years. They grew up Muslim and they follow their faith. And polygamy is a part of Islam. That's not why they practice polygamy, but it made it easier for them that it's allowed by their religion. I just want to be sure to clarify this. Most Muslims do not practice polygamy. It's something you can do under the religion, but it's not something commonly done in Islam. The majority of the time, most Muslims are monogamists. Nyla says, in Islam, every woman deserves a husband, but there may not be enough men to fulfill that need. So if there are unmarried women who need support, whose children need a father, a man can then marry another wife for that reason if it builds and keeps a family unit together. The Salahuddin sister wife doesn't have to be a Muslim though. She has to have beliefs, she has to be spiritual, but she doesn't have to be a Muslim. She has to be open and honest, and she has to be beautiful on the inside, according to Nyla. Nyla says the outside doesn't matter, but Naeem doesn't know why Nyla has to tell him what this woman has to be. He obviously cares that she's beautiful on the outside too. Obviously. I mean, men, let's be honest, they're visual creatures, and Naeem has to be attracted to the woman physically as well. If she's a gutter wench and she's spiritual and open and honest and she has a great personality, I really don't think Naeem is going to be down for that if she really physically isn't anything that he is attracted to. The Salahuddins have only been practicing polygamy for 2 years, and it was Nyla's idea, not Naeem's. They had a monogamous marriage, but she noticed that her husband thrives on love and support, and the more she gives to him, the greater he becomes. So Nyla thinks, what more could her husband be if there is more than one woman supporting him, that he could be even greater? Initially, she wanted to do this so her husband thrives, and it was her idea. He was actually resistant to it. But for Nyla, polygamy is about family. She loves family and she wants a packed house. The Salahuddins are currently dating Keisha from Georgia. They met her online. They have a lot in common. They have really good conversations. Keisha is friends with Nyla. They talk on the phone together and it is going great, but they haven't met Keisha in person yet. She could be the special sister wife that is right for them, they think. Keisha is going to be visiting soon and they feel she is the right one, even though they're going to be meeting her for the first time. And when she comes to visit, they're going to be introducing her to their family. So Naeem's mom is going to be coming over today so they can break the news that they're actually considering a sister wife and that this potential sister wife is going to come visit. Nyla isn't really looking forward to the visit. She knows her mother-in-law is totally against polygamy. Back to the Sherwoods, Ashley gets home from her date with Grace, and Shane wants to know how this date went. Shane feels that there are many benefits to having a sister wife. He thinks that everybody in relationships has fights, and he really doesn't have many friends that can be a sounding board for him about Ashley. So having somebody else that knows Ashley in that capacity the way he does, someone who can nudge her to tell her, listen, Shane is sorry. He feels when they get in fights, it might smooth things over. And if something were to happen to him, it would really put his mind at ease to know that Ashley has somebody who cares for her as much as he does. Ashley gets back from her date and she has nothing to report back to Shane. Shane has a lot of questions about how flirty things got. And Ashley says, although she is bisexual, on her journey of exploring that side of herself, her exposure to bisexuality has been limited. And she explains why it's been so limited. Her family is traditional, they're very conservative, and they believe only men and women should marry. And that's it. So dating women really wasn't an option for Ashley. She started exploring it in 2021 and she realized she was also into women, and her first sexual encounter with a woman wasn't until 2023. And she wondered what it meant for her heterosexual relationship with her husband, Shane. And Shane really wants to know if Ashley is sexually attracted to Grace. Ashley doesn't know yet though. She says Grace is gorgeous, but she doesn't know yet. When Ashley told Shane she was bisexual and that she wanted to explore with women, his initial gut feeling was he would be jealous if Ashley started to pull away from him. But he says they talked about it and they decided they're going to work through it. Ashley thinks that jealousy stems from dishonesty. And she says they always communicate, she and her husband. It's their number one rule. So they communicate before an encounter, before a conversation, during a conversation, during an encounter. They're always checking in with each other. And she isn't off on her own with women. She and Shane are both exploring it together, and there is nothing to be jealous of if you know what's going on. So Ashley admits to Shane that she and Grace kissed goodbye, and Shane wants more details. He says, when Ashley first told him about her bisexuality, he thought back to his college girlfriend. He has a lot of insecurity around this because his college girlfriend came out as gay, and he always thought maybe it was something he did, and he didn't know if that would play out the same way here. They had conversations exploring, would there be jealousy, what it would take to make it work. They had very long heart-to-hearts together about this. But Shane decided he didn't want Ashley to go through life not having the chance to explore that part of herself. Ashley is confused with the stuff with Grace. She says they have a great emotional connection. They have a great intellectual connection. She definitely finds Grace attractive, but she doesn't find herself physically or sexually attracted to Grace. Ashley really needs Grace to meet Shane, and she doesn't know how much of her confusion or her disconnect with Grace is secondary to the fact that she and Shane haven't met yet, and she feels like she's living two separate lives, and they still haven't discussed Grace meeting Shane. Shane thinks there has to be a reason why Grace doesn't want to meet him. She's been dating Ashley, but she still doesn't want to meet Shane. And Shane wonders why, and he thinks it's possible that Grace wants to take Ashley away from him. This dynamic with Ashley, Grace, and Shane will be interesting because the sister wife will be a sexual partner to both the wife and the husband. And since Ashley is just starting to explore her bisexuality and she is still kind of green, she might feel she ultimately prefers women. And she is already married to Shane and she has one baby with him and she's 6 months pregnant with another on the way. So it's going to be a very interesting dynamic. And if Ashley and Grace are more into each other than Ashley and Shane or Shane and Grace, it's going to end up being a huge problem and there are kids involved. This situation is going to end up more than complicated. And Shane is already insecure. He's already assuming that Grace is trying to steal Ashley away from him. He already seems to be jealous. And in the past, he has a lot of trauma surrounding this because he had a girlfriend who came out as gay when he was dating her. And he felt he may have contributed to it in some way. So he has that insecurity already, and he already has the assumption in his mind that Grace only wants Ashley, and he's already planning to triangulate Grace into the marital fights he has with Ashley, suggesting earlier that when they fight, he expects the sister wife to go to Ashley to make the peace for him and tell Ashley, oh, Shane's not that bad, Shane's really sorry, and things like that. So if Ashley and Shane have one baby and another coming soon and they already have little relationship issues and Shane has these insecurities, bringing in a sister wife so Ashley can explore her bisexuality, who is also supposed to have sex with Shane, that might end up a hot mess, in my opinion. I'm not saying Ashley shouldn't explore her sexuality, but these two seem to already have issues. And I feel like if Shane is already insecure, already imagining the worst because of his past, this isn't the time to do this. I just really think they should prioritize the kids and figure out their issues, and Shane should figure out his insecurities before bringing someone in. And I think this is going to explode into a hot mess. It's going to be overcooked oatmeal exploded in the microwave. It's not going to be pretty. The Davises are up next. They have their 12-foot-wide bed with extra room to fit a new prospective wife. They all sleep together at night. April and Jennifer joke that there's extra room because you never know what's going to happen. And Nick jokes, the more the merrier, as Danielle winces in silence. She isn't ready to take another wife. She doesn't want that. And if we recall from last season, the Davis family has April and Jennifer married to each other, taking Nick's last name. And the new sister wife who comes in will have to marry Danielle and take Nick's last name. And Danielle doesn't want to do that. She's not ready. In the past 2 years, a lot has changed with the Davises. They bought a big new house. They got this big new bed. Nick wants to mention how high status he is. He says the bed company told them the only other person they delivered this size bed to is a player on the Denver Nuggets. Nick doesn't work. He didn't drop the cash for that bed. His wives did. If they want to talk about that, they should be the ones mentioning it since they paid for it. But Nick wants to show how prestigious he is. Did he even pay 1 cent towards the bill for that, or is that thanks to his wives? That's what I want to know. I wonder if the wife of the Denver Nuggets player who got that size bed paid for the bed, or did the Denver Nuggets player pay for it? This man is bragging about something he didn't even pay for. Nick says sleeping in the same bed isn't something that is common in most plural relationships. And April explains that they like to do it that way because they don't like to have to divide up that time with Nick. But for sexy time, they do have a separate bed in a different room to get intimate. Nick discusses the sexual attention that each of his wives get next. He says that it's kind of like the solar system. Each of the planets revolves around the sun in its own orbit at its own distance. Let me guess, he's the sun in this analogy. Yes, his ego is really that big, hiding all that insecurity underneath it. He says they don't all receive the same amount of sunlight, but they all receive what they need to remain in their orbit. So basically what he's saying is there are wives he prefers banging over others, and those women get more vitamin D. Now, Nick reminds me of Dave Chappelle's Tyrone. Tyrone Biggums. He looks like him too. He hopes as they move forward, they meet someone else to come into the family to fill the middle spot in the bed. The spot in the bed that nobody wants. Danielle has already said she isn't ready yet to have another sister wife added to the family. We all knew before she married Nick, it was a huge mistake. And even though she's married now, she looks miserable. Everyone else is all smiles but her all episode. She looks down. She looks unhappy. She looks way less vibrant than she was before. She wonders if she made the right choice. Danielle made it clear that she isn't ready. Yet, Jennifer and April and Nick have mentioned 10 million times during this episode how eager and excited they are for someone else to come in as a sister or wife, as Danielle just looks defeated and annoyed when they mention it. She looks frustrated. She voiced already that she's not ready, and everyone is just ignoring how she feels and what she says and where she's at with this. And it's three against one. They're all excitedly discussing this, smiling, laughing, mentioning it with joy, having a new sister wife. And no one seems to be acknowledging Danielle or respecting or considering her feelings about it at all. Nick explains how polygamy works in their household. He isn't legally married to any of his wives. They are legally married to each other. And Nick intentionally wanted that to ensure that the bond between the two of the sister wives was as concrete as it could be. April feels now that Danielle has been there 2 years with the family, they really need to find her a wife too. Danielle isn't down for this. She looks frustrated. She says she knows the plan has always been to date and to add more wives and to have more kids, but she feels she just got married and they just had Vera. So Danielle wants to enjoy being a wife and a first-time mom for a bit. Danielle mentions this, and April and Jen look annoyed that Danielle isn't wanting what they want. Danielle doesn't see why they would need to rush into dating so soon. Nick looks pissed off at Danielle for being honest and mentioning that she just wants time as a wife and a first-time mom first. Everyone looks pissed about her feelings about this, and no one is offering any compassion or understanding to Danielle. They just seem to ignore her feelings completely, like they are forcing her into something she doesn't want, and it feels very culty. And I think Danielle, in the back of her mind, is really regretting her choice to get involved in this clown rodeo. Back at Garrick and Danielle's, Danielle is now telling Samantha, her sister-in-law, that she and Garrick are dating again. But Danielle is nervous. She knows how skeptical Samantha is about them dating and about them living polygamy. Danielle is very hesitant with how fast things are moving with Natalia. But Danielle wants to tell Samantha because she trusts Samantha's opinion and advice. Listen to your gut. If you're hesitant, there's a reason for it. Meanwhile, Garrick is telling Sam, Danielle's brother, that they are dating. And they're also going to be traveling to Mexico to see Natalia soon. Danielle tells Samantha that they're dating again, that they met someone else after Roberta. And Garrick tells Sam they're dating this new girl, Natalia, and she is from Brazil, from the exact same place as Roberta. Sam tells Garrick he's crazy, and he worries that it's going to be history repeating itself. Back now to Nyla and Naeem. Naeem's mom has arrived, and he doesn't think his mom will take the news very well that they're bringing Keisha here, that they're moving forward with polygamy, and he is telling his mom to prepare her so that they don't surprise her with Keisha. Naeem's mom doesn't know that they're dating another wife yet, and he mentioned they might want to pursue polygamy already, and his mom doesn't like sharing. She doesn't like it. She thinks it's germy. She thinks it's dirty to share. She was never interested in it. It's really not her thing. And Naeem tells his mom that they're all going to get tested. She's worried about STDs and exchanging bodily fluids. So Naeem lets his mom know they're all adults. They're going to get tested before they have sex. And Naeem's mom says it doesn't matter what she thinks. They don't need her approval. They're going to do whatever they want. Naeem thinks that his mom thinks it's only about sex and that it's nasty because he says his mom isn't open to anything in life. And Nyla says Naeem's mom saying polygamy is germy is ignorant, and she says it comes from a closed mindset. Nyla tells her mother-in-law that polygamy is a part of Islam and it's allowed. And Naeem's mom says she doesn't care. She doesn't like it. She doesn't want polygamy in her life in any aspect. And again, I want to reiterate that most Muslims in general don't practice polygamy. Nyla tells her mother-in-law that she is the one who brought the initial conversation up about polygamy. She's the one. So the wife wanted polygamy. The son of the mother-in-law did not really want polygamy in the beginning, and the wife is the one who encouraged it. It surprises the mother-in-law because Nyla is very educated. It surprises her that Nyla was the one to suggest the lifestyle. And Nyla admits initially Naeem was very against it. Naeem's mom asks why Nyla brought it up, if it's because she feels like she isn't enough. And Nyla knows, she says, that she's more than enough. But she says she feels like Naeem thrives on support. So she noticed with lots of support, with lots of words of affirmation from her, it helped him. It helped him thrive. And Naeem's mom suggests that she gets books and puts them all over the place, self-help books. She can put signs of affirmation all around her house instead of pursuing polygamy to support her son. I like the mother-in-law. She has common sense. She's practical. She sticks to her guns and she's feisty. Nyla explains to Naeem's mom about how much her support makes Naeem grow and thrive. And she says that there is a saying, behind every great man is a great woman. It doesn't say behind every great man are great women. And she asks how much greater Naeem would be if there was more than one woman giving him support. And Naeem's mom is awesome. She responds with, I think you need therapy. If he's lacking that much, then you need therapy. And Naeem responds that he needs therapy, but not over this. Nyla feels that Naeem's mom was very judgmental in her reaction. She expected her opinion, but not the judgment. Nyla and Naeem really see the benefit in polygamy. Naeem's mom says Naeem gets defensive, and Naeem says his mom doesn't inquire. She doesn't want to listen to what he has to say. And his mom tells him to educate her then. Naeem is getting frustrated, and he raises his voice a little, and he asks her if she is going to let him finish his statement. Wow. You know what? If Nyla really likes the support from her husband, let's say, and it helps her thrive, and she thinks she would do better with even more support, would it be okay for her to go out and get a second husband just for that reason, that she thrives under even more multiplied support? Would it be okay for her to go out and get a second husband just for that reason? I think there is some other reason she wants her husband to have another wife, in my opinion. And I really don't think it's about the religion. I don't know if she wants him to have a kid, and maybe she doesn't want to have a kid, or maybe he wants more sex than she wants to give him, or maybe he needs more support than she can give him. I don't know what the reason is, but I'm not buying this support thing. I don't know what the reason is that she wants to add another wife, but I'm not buying this support thing. I think something else is going on there. I don't know. Anyways, that does it for this episode. I'll be back next week with the next episode of Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 2, Seeking Danielle Davis. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon. Bye.